I grew up under, still do, and I had tremendous respect for my grandfather. But as I grew older and I became accountable to God for teaching His Word, there were some things that they taught me that when I tried to work that into the Bible, I ran into problems. And this is one of those things. And I have an explanation for it. And so I thought I'd talk about that tonight. John 5 and 20. Let's start with 25. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Well, during Jesus' lifetime, He raised several people from the dead, most notably Lazarus, and they heard His voice, and a voice is a word. This is the voice of God. It's the Word. He spoke to these men, but it is a voice. And I hear this voice all the time by reading it. He says, the hour's coming. And sure enough, later on, He resurrected Lazarus. Now He is. He was doing it at that time also. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Quite frankly, He was really talking about being crucified with Christ. What Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I was passed from death to life when I heard His word, His voice. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, I heard His word, it's His voice, just as sure as it's His word. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. I heard his word. I believe that. I ask him to save me and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, may that here shall live. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now this was the one that I always had problems with. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, into which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. This is talking about his actual voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Do you know, about 15 years before I came up here, they had a split in the Macedonian Association. Because people believed in a general resurrection. They didn't believe in a millennial reign. Half of them believed in a millennial reign, half of them didn't. So it split right down the middle. And this is one of the scriptures that split them. It looks like here that they all come out at the same time, the lost and the saved. It looks like it. Of course, if you wanted to, you could say, well, there's a gap here between this first resurrection and this last resurrection. You could do that and say there was 1,000 years in there. But I have a little problem with that because the language, it's going to be pretty hard to do that. So I want to talk tonight about something that I changed my mind about really before I came to this church. But it's something that I think the Scripture teaches. There is a first resurrection. No question about that. The Bible clearly indicates that. How many resurrections are there? People say, well, there's just two. A first and a second resurrection. Show me the second resurrection in the Bible. Show me the word second resurrection in there. How many resurrections are there? Well, everybody knows there's just two. That's what I was told. But how many resurrections are there? There is a first resurrection. No problem. There's a second death. Now that's in the Bible. There is a first resurrection, and there is a second death. This is the first death. I'll show you the first death right here. As it is appointed unto men once to die, all men, all women, All humans die. But after this, the judgment. Now, the Lord has the right to judge us. He's the one who either quickens us, makes us alive, or doesn't. So is the conclusion. Because all men had an appointment with death because of sin, so as the conclusion, Christ was once offered, one time, to bear the sins of many. How many? As many as would believe that he was the sin bearer and would put their trust in him. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Why does it put without sin? Because he took them in his own body on the tree, put them away, and when he returns, none of us, we will be changed. There will be no sin in our glorified body because he put it away the first time he was here. So there is a first resurrection. There is a second death. There is a first death. But I've been passed from death to life, eternal life. So I'll never experience the second death. Now, if you're possibly thinking, well, those people that get raptured, they're not going to die. Oh, yes, they are. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51. We shall not all sleep. There's still going to be people alive in bodies of flesh when the Lord comes. But we shall all be changed. Now, that's a split second, the twinkle of an eye. But my friend, you don't pass from this physical body into a new glorified body without dying. It's instantaneous. It's sudden. Well, isn't that the way death is anyway? I've sat by quite a few bedsides. I've watched people die. And it's that quick. Now, they may suffer for a long time. I remember one recently where I watched the thing go on their heart. It went, and all of a sudden, stop right there. It's instantaneous. When we're changed at the rapture, if we're still alive, that's death. Revelation 20:14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second resurrection. Oh, no, that's not what it says. This is the second death. There's the first resurrection. And there's the second death. But how many resurrections are there? Well, Enoch was translated way back there in Genesis. Elijah was resurrected from the dead. After Jesus rose from the dead, numerous Old Testament saints showed up in glorified bodies in the city of Jerusalem. There have been quite a few resurrections. And there's the first resurrection. Two resurrections. I'm just going to call them the first and the last and leave all those in between for wherever they belong. For as the Father, John 5:21-27, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present indicative active, has it right that moment that he believes, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He will never experience the second death, which is eternal separation from God in a lake of fire. Never. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The first resurrection. Here's the first resurrection. Only the bodies of the saved in graves hear the voice on the sounding of the seventh trumpet. That's the first resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the seventh trump, the last in a series, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is the seventh trumpet. That is the last trumpet. It is a mystery that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians. But in Revelation 10:7, how do I know it's the last trump? But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, he has a voice. When he shall begin to sound, The mystery of God should be finished. Paul said, I'm going to show it to you. And John said, this is when it'll be finished, when the seventh angel sounds his trump, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice, Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, who's the seventh in the series, the highest of the series, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. All the saved are caught out on the blow of the seventh trumpet. That means all of God's children are in heaven. They're there. And the kings of this world become the kings of our Lord. And all the saved are with Christ in heaven. That's when they're judged. John 5:27. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And here comes that judgment. Remember Revelation 11:15 we just read? Look at Revelation 11:18. The nations were angry. Armageddon hadn't occurred yet. Armageddon doesn't occur until Revelation 16:16, five chapters later, where it says, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. The nations here are angry, but the battle of Armageddon hadn't started. The seventh trump blows, a lot of bad things are going on, and thy wrath has come. His wrath does not come on this earth until after the blowing of the seventh trumpet. And then God's wrath comes on it, and it's going to be a terrifying thing in seven vials of wrath. And the time of the dead, this is the first resurrection. You have to wake a dead man up to judge him, that they should be judged. And Christ is going to be the one that does the judging. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Talking about all the saved. That thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets and the saints, and them that fear thy name, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. All the lost are left on the earth. The vials, seven vials of God's wrath are poured out. Now, we're going to start in Revelation 19:18. This is a consecutive, continuous narrative. I want you to see that. Revelation 19:18-22. Armageddon is finished. And this is what is going to happen after Armageddon to all the armies that came against Israel, and to Antichrist and the false prophet. This is the end of the tribulation period. Jesus has returned, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. The rapture occurs, the vials of wrath are poured out, and here we are at the absolute end of the tribulation period. Jesus has already returned. And I saw the beast, the Antichrist, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the Lord has returned in the verses before this. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them which had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. But what happened to their armies? The remnant of the armies that came with them were slain by the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's the end of chapter 19. Now remember, there are no divisions in the original writing of the Hebrew text. There are no chapter divisions. It's a running, continuous narrative. What happens whenever they put the beast and the false prophet into a lake of fire burning with brimstone? A great angel comes down. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. The bottomless pit is the interior of the earth. It's abyssu phreatos, shaft abyss. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Okay, continuous narrative. So you've had the first resurrection. You've had all the saved taken out. You've got all the lost left in their graves. And you've got the earth free of Satan and free of his demonic horde for 1,000 years. And you're down here on the earth in a glorified body. And there are other people here in physical bodies that survive the tribulation period. Revelation 25 through 7. Continuous narrative, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. You're going to have people born in the millennial reign. You're going to have people die in the millennial reign. You're going to have people saved in the millennial reign. You're going to have people that won't believe in the millennial reign. And you've got to have a judgment of those people. You're going to have people born in the millennial reign. You're going to have them die in the millennial reign. You're going to have people saved. Well, does that mean God's going to change his whole plan of redemption? He has never changed it. It has always been based on that seed in Genesis 3:15. And once Jesus returns and enters the temple in Jerusalem, which Ezekiel chapter 43 verses 1 through 5 clearly teach, if they believe that that is Jesus that made that entrance and he is alive, and they call on his name, they're going to be saved. I guarantee you, he has not changed his plan of salvation, nor will he. So you got 1,000 years here to deal with. This is the first resurrection. So I'm going to be taken in the first resurrection, whether I'm alive or dead in body. Blessed Makarios, happy and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second resurrection hath, on such the second death hath no power. Why didn't it have any power on any of those that were taken out at the beginning? Because they were passed from death unto life. And it's a one-time passage. It's a one-time experience. It's on a one-time sacrifice. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's your millennial reign. Now, at the end of that time, notice what Satan does. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. They let him out of the earth. He comes back on the earth, and he begins to tell people, spiritually, that all this that happened 1,000 years before was a natural readjustment in the earth itself, and people just thought it was God, and all the nations of the earth almost immediately turn against Israel, and this time he destroys the earth, God does, by direct power from his body. And we don't understand what that is, but it destroys them all. And he creates a new earth and a new heaven out of what he has literally annihilated. The second resurrection. Now the second resurrection, and I'm going to call it the second resurrection because it follows this one back here. You got a 3.5 year period of tribulation. I think this is going to start before 2008. Could I be wrong about that? Sure. But I'm not wrong about a first resurrection. Could I be wrong about when it occurs? Yes. But I don't think so. I think the scripture validates what I teach. Am I certain that we're going to have Israel attacked and begin the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period before 2008? Am I absolutely positive? No. But do I believe that? Yes. And I'm going to believe it right up till 2008. There's going to be an attack and then 3.5 years of tribulation. Sometime around 45 days before the end or thereabouts, you're going to have the first resurrection. At the end, Jesus is going to return, throw the false prophet and the beast, the Antichrist, in the lake of fire, devil's stone in the bottomless pit with all his angels for 1,000 years. Then comes the second resurrection at the end of the 1,000-year reign. You're going to have a lot of people saved in here. Believe it or not, you're going to have some people won't believe, just like now. But this is coming on the earth. Now, I've shown you a continuous narrative all the way through here. All the saved from the millennial reign and all the lost of all the ages will both hear his voice when the millennial ends. You're going to have a lot of dead bodies out there in the graves. You're going to have dead bodies out there whose souls are with the Lord in heaven, just like we do tonight. You're going to have souls out there whose dead bodies are in hell, just like they are tonight. You're going to have souls in heaven with the Lord that were saved in the millennial reign. Souls in hell that died during the millennial reign and weren't saved. And you're going to have some people walking around on this earth that are saved in physical bodies. And you're going to have some walking around that are lost. And they're all coming out at the same time, approximately. Approximately. The second resurrection, all the saved in the millennial reign and all the lost of all the ages will both hear his voice when the millennium ends. 1,000-year ends. John 5:26-27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. All of them. Every one of them. And shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. You know why I'm going to heaven? Because I'm good. You say you're a wicked sinner. You're right. But I've got the only good man that ever lived living inside me. He's the only good thing about me. But he's there. And in God's eyes, when he looks at me, he does not impute any sin to me that would send me to hell, because I've got that good man living inside me. That's his son, who never sinned in his entire existence. You're going to have some people come out of the grave, their bodies, and they've done good. They've done good because they trusted in Christ, the only good man that ever lived. They're coming forward to a resurrection of life. And they that have done evil, they don't have that good one living inside them. They don't have Christ. They didn't believe in him during the millennial reign. They didn't believe that was Jesus over there in the millennial reign. They never called on his name. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now remember, this is a continuous narrative. I didn't fiddle any on you. I came right on down through here. Revelation 20:11-15. This follows the millennial reign. It's the great white throne of judgment. Now I want you to notice what happens. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now you want to see the judgment of the millennial saved? Here it is. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, the books of their life, and whether or not they received Christ. And another book was opened. This other book's an interesting book. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were joined out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. When I arrive in heaven in my glorified body, and I'm judged by Jesus Christ, what am I going to be judged for? Heaven or hell? No. My name's written in the book of life. You're going to have a lot of people out in the land of the rain will have their name written in the book of life. What's he going to judge them for? According to their works. What for? For rewards? Yes, for rewards. These are saved people. Continuous narrative. Now take a look at verse 12. Remember, this is the word of God, and it has to be the truth. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. In verse 12, does not he see dead people, small and great, standing before God? It most assuredly does. There they are, right there. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. They were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That's a group of people with a book of life there, and they're judged for their works. And the Bible says they're standing before God. Now look at the next verse. The judgment of the lost of all ages. We just covered verse 12. This is the judgment in verse 12 of the millennial reign. And when they're judged, they're whisked away. and separated from this group here, because these are all the lost of all the ages. You say, you don't know that. Yes, I do. How can you see all of these people standing before the throne of God if they're still down here coming up out of the grave? And the sea gave up the dead which are in it. Right now on this earth, taking all the people that have died, whether their bodies are in the ground or in water, whether they've been cremated or haven't been cremated, there are only two places that their remains can be: terra firma, the earth, or water, one or the other. And the sea and the dead gave, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Now hold on here. If back there in verse 12, they were standing there before the throne of God, how in the Sam Hill did they get standing there if they were still in the sea and in their graves? And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Now, what is death? The grave? Terra firma. That's what it's always referred to as, the grave. And the grave, it came up out of the water. The bodies came up out of the grave. And where are all the souls of all the lost people? Where are they? In hell. Their souls come up out of hell. Their remains come up out of the water and the land. And hell delivered up the dead which were in them. You don't see a book of life with this group. That has to be two separate groups of people. It cannot be just one, because they can't be standing up before the throne of God in verse 12 and yet down here just be delivered up. This is all the lost. They were judged, every man according to their works. And death, the grave, and hell, all the places where the souls were kept, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I've shown you this because, quite frankly, there were some places in the Bible that I kept putting all these gaps in there between commas and semicolons and colons. And one of the questions I could never ask myself was, why do you bring out the book of life? And finally I got to looking at that and I said, there have got to be two groups of people there. Now if you can show me where that's wrong, believe me, I won't be angry. I'll be grateful. But I'm telling you, there have to be two groups of people there. The second group is all the lost. Now they're not going to be judged at the same time with all the saved which are judged before. But this helps me understand a lot of scriptures in the Bible I used to have a lot of trouble with. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. None of their names are written in the book of life. And they're cast into a lake of fire, eternal separation from God. The New Jerusalem, eternal heaven age. This follows the millennial reign. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The only thing that hasn't been determined for you and I that know Christ is where we're going to live in heaven. We're facing a judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where we're going to find out where we live in heaven. There's going to be a city three-fifths the size of the United States. How's God going to determine who lives where? By the degree of love you had for him in life. You say, well, I love God. For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. This is a great mystery, Paul said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. If you love God, you'll love his son's body. You say, well, I don't like some of the people in the church. That's a test of love. It's a test of your love and willingness to work with other people who share the same beliefs that you do about salvation, baptism, the church, the Lord's Supper, and the ordinances that God left us here on this planet. You say, well, it's hard for me to love people. If you've got Jesus inside you, you can at least make the effort, and you can at least respect the Lord's body. I come to church because I know God's presence is here. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. I know the scripture says concerning the church, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. I know this is where my master is tonight, even among us. And I know that you're his body. And I know if I love you, I love him. If I'm forgiving towards you, compassionate towards you, merciful towards you, then I love Jesus. I love God. If I'm not, how can I say I love God when I don't love his son's body? And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Outside this gigantic city, three-fifths the size of the United States, you're going to have all the saved of all the ages out there. And it's going to be glorious and wonderful, and they're going to have glorified bodies, and they're going to be ecstatically happy. But the ones who loved his son's body are the ones who loved God. And they showed their reverence and respect toward God through his son. And the church is his body. Jesus said, I receive not honor from men. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. There's going to be a lot of saved people out there that don't live in the city. Are they going to be jealous of the people that do? Absolutely not. You won't have that old carnal nature anymore. It's going to be a time of great rejoicing. The question is, where do you want to live in heaven now that you're saved? Revelation 22, 12 through 14. Behold, I come quickly. That's an adverbial modifier, uses a descriptive adjective. Refers not to the time of his coming, but boom, the manner, the suddenness of his coming. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. You want to show you love God? Then do his commandments. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now that I'm saved, now that I'm a member of one of God's churches, then this is the race of life. To try and do what God told me to do, the way he told me to do it, in the place he indicated I should do it, among the people that represent his local visible body. There is nothing more precious in the sight of Almighty God than the body of his son. And that's what the local church is. Brother Charles Trusty Sr., would you dismiss?